All right, we are plugged in on Friday the 14th. Wow, time is flying. April already, 2023. It's the Kraz Files podcast with Adam. And joining me for a chat today is the wonderful Jim West. Great to have Jim on with me. As always, Jim, it's always good to get you on, even if we have a quick chat. It's difficult for you as well, where you are and me, but we make it work in some way, any way that we can. And we're going to go down the rabbit hole a little bit today. So we've got some important topics to go over and cover with Jim. And if I can put this up on the website tonight, I will put in all Jim's links and where you can find his website and all his work and have a look at those unbelievable books that Jim has done. So we move forward. Everything is up on krazfiles.com. That's my website, C-R-A-Z-Z. It was hacked recently quite badly. Went down. It's still up, but there's just issues on there. There's things that they're just trying to find, and hopefully it's been fixed now. I haven't been able to upload my podcast. The server is rejecting the files, the audio files, and so it's been frustrating. But I am putting the podcast on Spotify and BitChute. But let me get this up tonight and let's just see how we go. There's just scumbags out there in the world, in mummy's basement, I guess, and they just want to tear down people's good work because they're just pieces of shit. And, it's getting hard. They're like foxes, you know. You lock up your chickens every night all year, and that one night you leave the door open, they come in and take their heads off. This is what we're dealing with now. It's not just censorship and all of this and what's happening. It's these people who are going in and terrorizing our websites and trying to crash everything and destroy everything. So it's been a real hard few days, but we did get the website up and we're rocking on, Jim. We're moving forward. Just to bring in the podcast, Jim, because we've just got maybe not even the hour tonight. I was talking to Dawn Lester the other night, and that's up on Spotify. Please look for Kraz Files Podcast on Spotify and share it because I'll get it trending, and I'll put it up tonight if it's working. I was talking about you, Jim, just about the Christine Macy debate with this tosser on YouTube, and I think you got involved there as well. And I was just discussing how you and I were talking years ago about how they can't prove virus theory, so they continue to go on with all the jargon and all the medical slang and they try to bamboozle people with all the big words instead of just answering a very simple question, where's the virus? And they can't do it. So I was just mentioning your work and then we discussed that. And as I think that you went in there as well, and may have even been spammed by these people. This is what we deal with now. So if we could probably start there if you wanted to, Jim, but I just wanted to talk about another video that I saw the other day that was put up on Telegram. And it was a short video on teenagers basically going through the transition phase of, you know, the transgender sort of thing, where they're chopping their genitals off and they're moving through with all that. And it was a sad thing to watch, you know, and there was a video and everything. And there was a post there saying that all these confused teenagers who are now transitioning into this, and they're taking all the drugs and everything they have to, and they're lopping their genitals off, that they are actually on the autism spectrum. Okay, and that this is because of vaccine damage. And I just found that really interesting, and I sent it to you because you and I were discussing this on one of our older podcasts about the transgender agenda, this happening to kids, and dust and ultrasound damage. And so I just thought that it would be good to have a look at that little issue today. I think it's part of the transhumanism agenda, but the ultrasound damage and the transgender sort of movement and all of this that's happening to children, it is really sad, and a couple other things here. But we always have so much to discuss because your work is just massive. Every time these important things come up, I'm like, that's what Jim said. That's in Jim's book. That's what he was talking about, you know? And it's like, yeah, I try to tell people, you've got a massive, storehouse of really, really incredible information that we need to try and still, you know, push out there as much as we can. And you've been doing some radio interviews and things recently, which is fantastic. But how have you been, my friend, since we last spoke?
I'm doing really good right now, which is kind of unusual. And it's great to be on your show, Adam. Thanks for inviting me. And I know we're going to have a good time. But yeah, I'm doing great. Everything hinges on avoiding EMF, as far as I'm concerned. You know, if I could be in the middle of the desert with no money or nothing, if I'm away from EMF, that means I've got my sanity, and it means I can sleep soundly, and I'm getting to that point. I mean, I've been working for years to get the EMF down. With different shielding sleeping bags and putting copper foil under the drywall of the bedroom and stuff like that. And lately I've got it sort of happening. So I'm quite happy. That's what I'm right now, which is always a problem because every time I get happy, the other shoe drops and I never know where it's coming from. But right now I'm happy, you know. And But these are interesting topics here. You're bringing up, and you know, it's like it really does, I think, hinge around ultrasound, prenatal ultrasound. You know, when I was digging out these studies that proved that about 99% of the newborns ever since like 1991 are being severely damaged, you know, I mean, it's just hard to believe. And we've got a culture of we've always had a culture of damaged people. I mean, World War I, World War II, you know, they did it with wars, you know, and they did it with toxic industry, and they did it with fluoridation, and you know, the vaccination and prenatal x-rays ever since 1900, around there, they've been doing that on newborns. Giant epidemics of x-ray disease, congenital deformations of newborns, you know. The damage they do to us, for why, I really can't understand. You know, what's the point of it? You know, obviously there's profit there, but it's such a dumb thing to do. I wish I understood it, but anyway, the damage is so great that I understand these Christian ethic, which is, you know, always forgive and never blame anybody because everybody's, but they don't go on to say because everybody's damaged, but they do say forgiveness is important. And so whenever I talk to anybody, I just, and you hear so much irrationality from people nowadays, especially because everybody seems to believe that free speech is a bad thing, you know, which is a new trend. People are now revealing themselves as basically irrational because they've gotten the okay and the reinforcement from the system to be overtly irrational. You know, it's like normalized. You know, so you know, you're talking about the transhuman, transgender, transvestite. All this stuff, EMF exposure is shown to cause a gender dysphoria. There we go, gender dysphoria. In other words, genders are confused, and if an adult, a child, or a fetus, or anything is exposed to excessive EMF, which is just about any EMF, they do have the symptoms of gender dysphoria to some degree, you know. And ultrasound is basically EMF frequencies at 9 megahertz, the AM radio band. Prenatal ultrasound is basically AM radio band transformed into the physical frequency through a piezoelectric crystal. And you know, pushed into the body of a fetus or a mother's organs and damaging them. You know, almost any ultrasound exposure is damaging. So I mean, it's hard to believe. It's hard to believe that an entire generation is routinely and thoroughly, you know, damaged, severely damaged. You know, it's just a sci-fi nightmare. You know, it's hard to believe, but it's real. I mean, the science shows it to be real. So, what do you think of that? What do you think of all that?
Yeah. I think it's obviously as well. Like, you know, talking about that video I sent you, showing these teenagers and what they're going through. Yeah, I think obviously they don't understand the real trans agenda, the monsters who are funding and who are behind this. There's an agenda there waiting, you know, to manipulate and, you know, it's basically abuse these kids. And also the medical system with the doctors doing these kinds of surgeries on these kids, because they're kids, you know, teenagers, this is ridiculous. And they're going through that. But it just really sparked my interest to, when I saw that post, that these kids who are going through that trans surgeries and everything, and it's happening so much now, or could be autistic, because then it just sparked my memory that you and I talked about the autism spectrum order, you know, order and the DUS, the ultrasound damage, and of course the label gets put on the vaccines. That's making them autistic. But as you and I discussed many times, the initial damage, the foundations of damage, the bricks of damage have already been laid through ultrasound. So the egg is coming out looking perfect, and there's no cracks or anything on it. It just it's perfect. But then you get things like vaccines, and they're acting as stressors and triggering these conditions like autism. But looking at what's happening now with these teenagers, it's really crazy, Jim, because the whole thing seems like a kind of a dragnet, or it's catching them. You know what I mean? It's like if this damage is being laid in utero, and then these kids are coming out, and then they're turning into teenagers, and this is happening to them. The whole the system, you know, the Hollywood system, the movies, the propaganda, the money behind the trans agenda, and these sick, perverted pedophiles that are behind this, and all of this whole agenda is all through the schools. It's everywhere now. That net is waiting for these damaged kids, because it's like a predator. It knows, or
right,
it knows that they're damaged and that they're easy to catch. And this situation is turning out in this way, very dark. So I think it goes deeper too. I think that the agenda is right from utero, right through. This damage, Jim, how do you – I know you've done a little bit before on the shows, but people might not be able to find that. But how do we explain this this kind of damage with children or teenagers who are transitioning like this? And ultrasound. And because, and I will bring this up as well, you did do a paper not long ago on the shrinking of genitals. I'm sure it was on ultrasound, shrinking genitals. And we do know that there is that the ultrasound is attacking the sexuality or the sexual outcome of these children when they grow up, possibly. So that, as I said, that damage is already there.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, I was thinking if you want to take it to the ultimate, well, as far as I can see, yeah, you know, you can never be cynical enough, and they're always like a thousand steps ahead of all of us, you know. It's almost like they've created the ultimate government control, because it's government through medical addiction, you know. It's and they by damaging everybody in the womb and sucking the soul out of them with ultrasound, they've created people who are afraid to rebel, afraid to have a rebellious thought, and they're told how to be politically correctly rebellious, and don't let anybody tell them anything, and this and that. Hate men and white men and whatever, you know. It's created people who are too independent to even to have a conversation, you know. So it's there was a theory before, well, which I've talked about, or we've talked about, which is a government by journalism. The true government is journalism, and then everything else, all the politicians, everybody else reacts to the journalism. That's the ultimate government. But that's a very old concept, which if somebody does something and the system doesn't like, well, they sick the journalists on them, you know, or they can sick all the Facebookers on somebody or the Twitters on somebody, and they can destroy people with Twitter, you know. I think it was it Libya that they used Facebook and Twitter to bring about the rebellion that brought down I forget his name anyway, but anyway, so it's a crazy world. It's just a big churning laundry machine of human souls, you know. It's in the dry cycle, I think, at high
the
speed.
The laundromat of human souls.
Yeah, it's a human, it's a government by the soul laundromat, you know. It's horrible. Yeah,
it's crazy. You tell us about if we just create a side note. Tell us about your Massey debate, because you said that you were talking to a guy who had a degree in microbiology and all of this, but then you got spammed and everything. So these people are following this so-called doctor on YouTube that debunks everybody, but he can't answer a simple question. But you went on there and inserted some comments to these people.
Yeah, well, Christine Massey was having a debate on YouTube, and it's there, still there, with this guy. I don't know whether he was a virologist or whatever, but he acted like he understood all of virology, PCR, and nucleic acid, and DNA, RNA, and all that stuff, and he was, you know, he's taking the position that COVID virus, and I think they were talking about ferret disease or something, and but it's all about virus causation, and she was the virus denier. They invited her on their show, you know, but they set it up to make her look pretty bad. Like they started the show off just spending like 5 or 10 minutes just adjusting their microphones and their cameras.
Awkward.
And all that. Yeah, it was a little weird. So it got the audience very impatient. And then when they started talking, he was insisting that she be able to criticize. If she was going to criticize anything, she had to be able to handle the virology and all of its modern sophistication, and which she can do, you know. But she was she wanted to start off with the basics, like I would or you would or any sensible person would, and then build it from there. Because the thing that's wrong with virology is not its sophistication, which actually is wrong. It's the root of it. The simple roots are rotten. And so she wanted to get the terms and the basic, you know, the points like isolation of the virus. She wanted to get that. She wanted to talk from that point. But he's saying, well, you can't talk about that if you don't really aren't willing to talk about all the details of the sophisticated study that he was presenting, you know. with all of his jargon and all that. And she could have gotten into that, but it would be a wasteland, and she knew that. So she basically very gracefully bowed out of the whole debate. And then everybody, like a bunch of monkeys, began to attack her as if she was a coward or something. So I went in there and just said, she wanted to talk about root terminology. He wanted to talk about the flowers and the limbs and all of the flora of a rootless tree. That's what I said. And then I got attacked by two guys, but my topic became very popular, and it was sort of pinned to the top of the whole YouTube thing for a couple of days. And but I very calmly handled all these guys, and the net result after a week is that this one guy who was like going for his master's in microbiology, who was very sarcastic and very arrogant, which I ignored all that, he ended up disappearing from the conversation. And all he said was, he didn't say he's wrong. He just said, oh, thanks for the tip. That's what he said. And he left. And I could have like said, what do you mean? You know, you're a flake, you know, you're leaving, you're running away and all that. But I just let it stay at that. But what got him, what put him down was presenting to him a totally legitimate mainstream science study on flu patients. And it's on the NIH PubMed website. I put him a link. And what it says is they found out that people who are diagnosed with flu, virus flu, actually are victims of stove exhaust poisoning, right? And there's a bunch of studies like that, but doctors don't tell people when they come in with flu symptoms, no matter how bad, they don't tell them that the study's around. They don't ask them if they have an unventilated gas stove and if they were cooking a Thanksgiving dinner the night before. They don't say anything to them. They just give them an antibiotic, give them whatever, and then the person goes back and gets poisoned more. You know, it's very, very dangerous to go to a doctor about the flu because they won't tell you the full picture. The first thing, anytime you're sick of any kind of disease, the first thing you should do is look around for environmental stressors, because your doctor will try to lead you away from those stressors. So anyway, that basically, there were two guys, and I tried the humble approach where it's easy. The best way to debate these arrogant people is admit they're right. Admit that they're smart. Admit that they're educated, and then ask them for some toxicological studies to make sure that virologists have not overlooked environmental stressors. And suddenly nobody can answer that question, because there is no answer for the virologists. Their whole point of existence is to avoid industrial toxicological stressors. So all you have to do is ask for that, you know, and they'll be tripped up, you know. And it's so that's what I did, you know, so you don't have to know anything when you're confronting an expert. All you have to do is ask him a simple question, and suddenly he realizes he doesn't have a foundation. He finds out himself he has no foundation, and then they run, you know. So, and then okay, so. Now, I have been attacked with all kinds of spam. My phone totally spammed up. But I bought this thing called the RoboKiller, which intercepts spam, and Gmail, you know, that which I use mostly, that tends to filter out spam. But I'm still getting a lot of spam. It's pretty weird. And But I thought it was me in relation to this conversation, and maybe it is. But now I'm less paranoid because I talked to a friend of mine, and he said also that he was getting tons of spam, and he's a pretty innocent person. You know, he's not undermining the mainstream or anything. But anyway, so I had another victory, which is really weird. I went on Discord a couple weeks ago. I told you about that, which is all about debate, right? Discord.com. And there was a microbiology website or channel, what they call a channel, and people were arguing, and there were professional microbiologists type people, although young, and not aware that microbiology could be a fraud. But they're very arrogant, you know, because they think they're educated. And I was invited on there, and I did the same thing. All I said was, you know, find a toxicology study, you know, because if a virus study does not control for confounding factors like toxicology, it's anybody in science knows that the study is invalid. You have to control for confounding factors. Toxicology for a disease is obviously a confounding factor for virology. If they don't address it in the study, then the study is worthless. So they never address it because their whole point is to distract from it. So again, I asked the innocent question, and I provided a link to the PerthGroup.com, which is the greatest of all time critics of HIV paradigm. You know, I just put that down there, and I said I'm not going to debate anymore. Leave it up to the reader to see my link and see your link, and consider our debate as it's gone so far, because I can see we're just going into loggerheads, and let the reader, you know, who happens upon this channel, make up their own mind. Okay, so that was it. 2 days later, I go back there because I figure, you know, I should copy this whole debate because it's a beautiful debate on how to take down virologists. And the whole channel was blown away. Discord banned the channel and destroyed all the content. You know, which is pretty funny. You know,
I remember you were talking about that. That's incredible.
Yeah, yeah. And that's happened before. I've had medical websites destroy any channel of debate, you know, instantly, just boom. And which is cool because it teaches everybody a lesson, you know, how serious this BS is, you know.
Yeah.
How valuable it is to the industrial scam system, you know.
The whole thing is built on it, the whole thing. And if you look at COVID and what they've done and what they've achieved and everything, just that, like, I mean, it's massive. It's all built on a lie. And that's not even looking at just the general medical system and what doctors, how they act, their approach, everything. Like the whole thing, or not the whole thing, but a massive portion of it is built around the virus lie, so they obviously want to protect it.
Well, it's some kind of germ. It's either, they always blame everything on a germ or your genetics. You know, like you didn't wash your hands, you blew your nose in the wrong direction, or your parents are defective and they created you defective. So it all comes down to pointing the finger at the patient, you know. When they're the ones causing all disease by spreading misinformation, 24-hour misinformation, and they charge a lot of money for you to receive that misinformation. That's what's so ridiculous about it. This whole thing about doctors charging a lot of money just to make it look like they're important, that concept goes way back to Rome. I was reading some ancient Rome translations, and they were saying the same thing we're saying today, you know, that it's a religion, it's a religious medical system of poisoning, and they charge a lot of money just to make it look like they're legit, you know.
You know, it's always been that way, yeah. But
it's always been that way, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it is amazing, and the arrogance of these people is always front and center as well. And just going back to the Macy one that you were talking about, that channel is called Debunk the Funk with Dr. Wilson. That is the channel. And he's got 25,000 subscribers, and the Christine Macy one went up there. I found it awkward, and I don't know. I sort of said to her, because I've spoken to her before, why would you bother with these bozos? They're arrogant from the get-go, and the way that they talk to people, and the way that he was talking to her was so disrespectful and arrogant. And then looking at the idiots that follow him, it really explains it. You know, he's followed by a bunch of morons, and they think they know everything. The way that they were talking, I couldn't believe, you know, how pathetic they all were. And as I was saying to Dawn the other night, really, all we want to do is, the burden of proof is on their shoulders anyway, so we don't have to really do anything. But all we want is just to, you know, grab a sample from a sick person with COVID and isolate that COVID-19 virus out of there. But they can't do it. And so these people have got to use all the jargon and all the confusing words and get their textbooks out, their medical textbooks. I'm sure they carry them around like a Bible, you know. And he just kept going down that path, and it was frustrating to watch, but that's what they do. But the whole time that they can't answer questions, they act like they're better and mightier than everybody else. And this is, of course, instilled into these bozos through the Rockefeller medical system that goes right through the universities. They're churned out of universities to become doctors with this arrogant attitude that they know it all. But really, at the end of the day, what do they know if they can't answer a simple questions? Because confusing lingo and all this stuff that they use, that is not answering her questions. And I could just see that's why she bailed out, because he's not going to answer it. And I could see it from the get-go. He's not going to answer the questions. They can't answer it. So they're going to constantly try and it reminded me, Jim, you know, when the cops or something, they come into a building and they throw down the, you know, like a grenade, and it puts smoke up, and then they, you know, the criminals will do that if they're about to be caught, and they'll just put that thing down, and it puts a big smoke screen up, and they bail out the back door. He's kind of constantly putting that smoke screen up, you know, and acting like he knows it all. But really, mate, you haven't answered any of her questions. What she's trying to do is very simple, and he can't answer them. So it was a really interesting kind of debate, but it was awkward and clumsy, and it kind of irritated me because the guy was such a dickhead.
Yeah, well, you know, I was a little disappointed that Christine didn't. I mean, I've seen her in writing be pretty direct and pretty sharp and cutting when she was debating Hammond. You know, Jeremy Hammond. She
cut
him.
I think she gets a bit nervous, Jim. She gets a bit nervous live on doing that live stuff. So maybe, you know, he's good at it. So it kind of, you know, so you put someone in front of the camera, they might struggle a little bit. Yeah, it's a bit hard for her, maybe. I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, I think she could have said, I mean, in retrospect, you know, I think she could have survived that and still bowed out. But she could have said, look, there's no reason to get into all this BS. She should have called it BS, but she was too nice. She's a very nice person. But she should have used a word like BS or crap or something like that regarding his study, because she should have said, look, we haven't defined the fundamental terms. We haven't, you know, so there's no point in swimming in your pool of crap, something like that. She should have done that to him in order to put him on the defensive. As it was, he was always on the offensive on her with his sarcasm and his nastiness. And she should have just, I don't want to say what she should have, because I think she did great. She did fine bowing out like that, but it was like a courtroom of monkeys, 1,000 monkeys, all jeering and hanging from the ceiling. it was really sick. You know,
that's their realm, Jim. That's their domain. Yeah. That's where they hang out, and they all agree with each other. You know?
Yeah, yeah. And they're all excited about the fact that they know something. They know something. They know virology. They know they can say DNA, RNA, and all this stuff. And yet it's all just a bunch of crap, you know. It's total crap. And they're smeared on them, around on them, and they think it's dinner time, you know. It's so bad, you know.
Savages.
Yeah, just little peanut gallery monkeys everywhere screaming and yelling and reveling in their intelligence, you know, their fake intelligence. And she was just trying to just keep it. Let's start with point one and then work forward. That was her viewpoint. But and his was, why do we want to talk about that when it's been proven by a million scientists? You know, they can't all be wrong. This is, they're dealing with things you don't know about, you know, just, you know, that's his approach, you know. So
what's the thing, like, what do you suggest the first thing is that she asked for? What's the first thing we ask for with these people, Jim? It's not the isolation. It's the toxicology reports. Is this, what's the number one thing in your book?
Okay. Well, she should call them out with harsh, clear sound bites and say, tell him that he's living in a rootless tree of knowledge. There's no root. We need to talk about the root of what you think you know before we talk about all these pretty flowers, which are actually just blobs of crap. We need to you need to explain why your study does not address toxicological confounding factors. You know, that's what you can. Now, you don't have to tell them they're a bunch of crap. You can just say, my argument is that this study and this topic that you want to talk about does not address toxicological factors and for disease causation. We're talking about disease. You claim a virus is causing it. Nowhere in this study do I see the word toxicology, you know. So, you know, tell me that. You can't prove anything if you only talk about one topic. You know, if there's two topics in opposition, you can't just address one of them. You have to address them both. And the virologists only address this thing in a test tube that they think is a virus. That's all they talk about. They don't care where the material this studying comes from. It could come from a poisoned subject. They don't care about that. They want to talk about the virus, you know, what they think is a virus. It's really just a symptom of poisoning, a microbiological symptom of poisoning, a distorted gene. That's what they – there's no point in going down that road because it's just bait. As soon as you want to talk about a gene or a virus or any of that stuff, it's just intellectual bait to get you away from talking about the very real possibility of poisoning, you know, pollution, medical poisoning, EMF, air pollution, water poisoning, whatever, you know. That's what they don't want you talking about. That's what doctors don't want you talking about. That's why virologists will never talk about it. You don't see virologists debating anybody. You never see them. You don't even see doctors that much debating. It used to be a doctor would hardly ever debate because they knew they have everything to lose and nothing to win, you know. Dr. Robert S. Mendelsohn, the great doctor, he described the doctors as the devil's priests. He said they're morons, you know. Once you get them on the defensive, they become really angry. And we all know when you go into a doctor's office and you ask them a simple question and they get very defensive, they get angry. You know, they threaten abandonment, which actually isn't a bad thing. But, you know, a lot of people want a real doctor. What they've been told is a real doctor. They go into the office, they ask a simple question. Doctor gets pissed off. And so that's medicine, you know.
Mm. Yeah.
So I think she did fine. You know, I'm just saying, if I did it, I was very civil with Discord, and I was very civil when I was in that monkey world that Christine was in. I was totally civil. I didn't call anything crap, because I know they're looking for those. They're looking for me to be arrogant. They're looking for me to be angry. They're looking for me to be the ad hominem person. So I just ignore all the baloney and their attitude and all that. And I just keep saying, where's the toxicology? Where's the toxicology? There is no toxicology. And then I show them I didn't even want to show them a toxicological study, because I just wanted to rest on the logic of my argument. Because the foundation of a scientific study is it must address confounding factors to be valid. That's a basic premise of any science. And I just wanted my argument to go on there. But I did them a favor, and I gave them a study, and that shut them up, you know. So.
Yeah, crazy times, huh? And it's happening all over. We were just mentioning with Dawn Lester on Wednesday night. I don't want to character assassinate anyone. You know, I'm just saying I was talking about a big debate on the high wire, where Del Bigtree debated Neil deGrasse Tyson. They're talking about the vaccines being dangerous. We know all this, but really, there's nothing on the COVID not being real. I mean, really, they're pushing it, to be honest. So they've got these big fancy studios, but they just appear the same as the corporate media to me. But everyone's kissing Bigtree's butt because he's the god of the truther movement. But really, I look at this guy and I just think he's just promoting, like Hammond and all of them, even protecting virus theory and germ theory. So I can't see why he's any different than the established corporate media in my book. But I understand he's done a lot for the anti-vax movement and everything like that. But he really watching these debates, as I said to Dawn, I can't get anything out of it if they're not talking about the most important point here, which we are tonight. They're just not bringing it up. So maybe that's their job. Maybe that's what they do. And maybe the whole vaccination thing, as you said years ago on this podcast, is all about division. I mean, I'm not getting the COVID jabs. We know they're dangerous and they probably will kill you, but it is a divisive thing. And I think that's their job in the trenches, to just completely keep everybody divided and the divide and conquer sort of thing going, and keep us away from asking, where's the bloody virus?
Well, there's always a limit to political correctness. And I think the Del Bigtree, maybe that's why he calls it the high wire. He's balancing. He's doing a balancing act. He's on the high wire in the circus, and he's on that high wire. And he knows that this is the point of what you can say and what you can't say. And still still have a show that has some popularity. You know, I mean, he had tremendous popularity there with the handsome intellectual British doctor who was so maligned. Remember that you know who I'm talking about, the great British doctor who Del Bigtree, and he they worked together on the film Vaxxed. That's what made Del Bigtree famous, was the film Vaxxed, right? So.
That's okay. Right. That's right, Jim. It was the Vaxxed. Yeah. I just got you on mute because it's raining. Yeah. But it's the Vaxxed, and they had the Vaxxed pass and everything. And people really, they really love his work and him, you know. He's a charismatic, and he's a gentleman. He's a great speaker.
you know, and with the vaxxed bus and what they've done here in Australia, you know, I mean, it is amazing work and they've really informed people. Yeah. And he's got a great show and everything, like Mike Adams.
Yeah.
You and I were talking about Mike Adams. He's flip-flopping as well.
Right. He flips-flops. You know, he admitted that COVID virus has never been isolated, this total scam. Yet the next moment, you know, he's promoting more other viruses and his his herbs to help you survive the next virus, you know.
The virus apocalypse. Yeah.
Yeah, the virus. Yeah. Yeah, but I think Del Begdre knows perfectly well. You know, he was the producer for the movie, for the TV talk show, daily talk show called the Doctors, right? And they had a panel of doctors who were being challenged here and there, not much by the audience, you know. But and so he knows the politics of what he can say, what he can't say, and he knows he can't. I remember one time I saw on YouTube a couple years ago when the COVID thing was out, he allowed one of his interviewees the possibility to talk about the topic that there was no virus. And his show was like put on a suspension for 2 weeks, you know. And I don't know what he does nowadays. Does he talk about – I haven't even looked at him in a year. Does he ever talk about the no virus theory or the isolation thing?
Who's that, Dale?
Begdre. Does he ever talk about no virus?
No, they never do it. One bigger entity that did it is the RFK, I think. Is that him? The Robert F. Kennedy and his defender and – Children's Health Defence, they've hit Dennis Barcelo on there. I think they've put your work, if they've gone into your work, but they've definitely mentioned it. They've been the closest sort of big outlet that's at least put information up there. But none of these guys will do it, not even Alex Jones or any of the big channels.
Right.
You know, Mike Adams, has that scientific mind and he does have a laboratory. And I like Brighteon. It's a great outlet and variety on channels and live shows. And he has mentioned it, but he's flip-flopping. And maybe, maybe they just don't want to touch it.
They can't touch it. They can't touch it. They know it's at the point you can't go. You got to argue with the virus being a real thing, you know.
Yeah.
That's the only argument allowed. That's as deep as you can go. And even that is considered COVID disinformation, and platforms can be fined and all that, you know. So
There's not a lot, you know, Dr. Sam Bailey in New Zealand and you and us and Rappaport and Dawn and Lester and David Parker and Tracy Northern and you know, that you know, the other doctor, I forget his name. You know him, Jim. He's pretty good too.
Cowan? Not Cowan?
Yeah, the other doctor with the glasses in the US. He's huge. Anyway, he's...
You're not talking about... Well, that's the one, not the one that worked with Del Begdre.
No.
Not the guy who worked with Del Begdre.
There's a bunch of people who are doing great work, and there has been some great films, documentaries, and information coming out.
Right. But they don't – a lot of people – oh, you're saying people who will address the no virus.
Yeah, who will, yeah. But it's probably a big controversial issue. It does get you blocked and banned and kicked off channels, and it's worse than the anti-vaxxer thing. If you question the virus now, it's really a divisive thing. So I think some of these big channels, they touch it, or, you know, as I said, they flip and flop, but they're not really going there. Dr. Andrew Kaufman, sorry, Jim.
That's who I was trying to think of.
He's one.
Confronted him three times in person on the sidewalk and in the theater in New York during the premieres of the movie with Del Begdre. He said, I gave him a book and on ultrasound with all the studies. And he said he was quite taken by it. quite impressed with it, and he couldn't get it out of his mind, you know, and stuff like that. But that's as far as he went, you know. And Del Bigtree, when I told him that the most of the evidence actually points to ultrasound as being the initiator of autism, I told him that in front of some other people around him, and they agreed with me. So he was stuck, right? But all he did was go, really? With a big sheepy, a big shit-eating grin. And that was as far as he went in that direction, you know. Like he knew, he wasn't going there. And he was an expert at, you know, deflecting that topic, you know. So, and it, you know, so... Oh, and then there's the other guy. There's the guy who was talking to the whistleblower, the engineer who ended up talking to the CDC whistleblower and taping him and all that. I also confronted him in person, gave him my book, and I see him still talking about you know, autism as if ultrasound has nothing to do with it. You know, I see him on shows here and there, and.
But this is the same as the Autism Foundations.
The US won't
look at your work, but they're an autism foundation. They're trying to search for a cure.
It seems like all the anti-vax people are connected to the autism thing, and there's a common thread that seems to go through them, which is Blaxill, Mark Blaxill. He's a former, I believe he's a former consultant with the pharmaceutical companies who he himself has an autistic child, but he found a niche there for himself, and he makes a lot of money, I believe, like a huge amount of money, sort of as an sort of the guy who's in on all the boards of directors with all these anti-vax groups, sort of making in my view, I feel like he's there to basically keep the anti-vax group as the purpose of anti-vaccine is basically to provide a movement for all the hurt parents of autistic children and vaccine damaged children. But he's providing them a direction that goes nowhere. Because it doesn't address the reality of ultrasound, and he actually launched his website, which is the Age of Autism, which is the biggest website out there for autism and anti-vax, and he launched it plagiarizing the hell out of my polio DDT website with Dan Olmsted, who's a former Associated Press editor, you know. And I do know that I called him out person to person in New York for plagiarizing my polio DDT book. And he said, oh, no, it must be a mistake. You know, you must be reading this wrong. And I said, no way. And then his girlfriend came up and started saying, oh, we had tons of ultrasound, you know, like before we had our autistic child, you know, she was like hysterical, like, and he grabbed her and ran away, you know, and interesting little story that I think she was with the Canary group, the Canaries, and anyway, but yeah. A lot of things are bouncing around. related topics.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm just going off topic, I guess. And
well, yeah, I mean, when we started, it is important for people to look at that. I mean, looking at the transgender agenda, it is an agenda, and it's run by very powerful, extremely powerful people, and it's backed with a lot of money. The whole movement, and the LGBTQ plus P.
Well, okay, so let me.
They've got a lot of money, and kids don't understand this. Yeah. You know, they're not aware of it. And
I got something to say about that. Okay, so the transgender movement, LGBTQ, the normalizing of what was previously pretty obviously weird behavior, and the normalizing of problems, you know, like such as. The average woman nowadays outweighs the average man of the 1960s because, there's like an epidemic of obesity and things like that. That's all ultrasound, prenatal ultrasound and people growing up. But the normalization, all these movements and the pride of this and pride of that, everything pride except normality, natural normality, is just a distraction from the routine damage they do to the entire society. I mean, it's probably hopeless for humanity at this point because, you know, when corporate agriculture, I'm going to draw an analogy, they apply, they poison seeds with mercury. They treat seeds, grains, with ultrasound, and the reason is they want to upset the DNA, upset the plant at a seminal level, just like prenatal ultrasound. And what it does is it causes ADHD of the grain. So when they plant it, it grows really quick, and they get a high yield, more profit. They don't care that you're getting food where the DNA is scrambled, you know, the genetics is scrambled by basically prenatal agricultural growth, you know. So the same thing is happening to humans. Humans are raised just like we're food on a corporate farm. We're poison from before we're born because they want a ADHD. High productive, uncritical, maniacal society that they can control no problem. It seems like we're farm animals, you know. Although, you know, there was some way out, you know, a little bit of a way out in previous history, but now it's so routine, 99% or more, right? Just every child is beaten in the womb of its own mother, you know. So
that's right.
So I'm just addressing what you're talking about. The transhuman thing is a organized, top-down organized and promoted churning of the public and normalization of abnormality, you know, because they have to account and hide the damage they've done to society.
That's right. Well, if you're looking at a transgender movement, if you're looking at the transgender thing and the transhuman agenda, they both go hand in hand. They're both connected. And if we're going into a transhuman agenda, then obviously there's no need for humans, emotions, or genitals, or sex, or anything of this. So all this has to be wiped off the table, and I think we're in the stages of that. It's all part of a much bigger plan. Huxley spoke about it, didn't he? Brave New World, really. So, I mean, that's what it is. That's what we're going into. Transgender and transhumanism are obviously very, very tied. If we look at this, and it is, but yeah, as I said, you know, these young people have been captured, and they think they're part of a movement that's, you know, got their back and looking after them, and it's all about equality. We're just getting it in bucket loads here now, and all this stuff. But it's a murderous, hateful, you know, satanic, evil, sick system, riding on the back of you know. Damage. to this human life. They're just damaged, and they're just falling into this trap, you know. And it's a sad thing to see. When you look at, if you go back and you have a look at our past, if you have a look at our ancestors and the way people lived and what they did, and now you go on TikTok and just see all these teenagers transitioning and chopping off their genitals, it is really insane to see that. Our forefathers would look at that and go, what is going on here? What is happening? You know, this is insane. And yeah. Now it's the cool thing to do, but it is interesting to look at autism and these kids transitioning, and where did that come from? And ultrasound, I think that is deeply connected there. That initial foundation of damage is in there since birth, you know, or before, as we know, in utero. So it is an interesting subject.
Yeah,
Mr. West.
It's ruthless, you know.
It's brutal.
Brutal.
That is brutal. It's brutal to see teenagers like on TikTok and these videos where they're just, they've had everything chopped already. Oh my God. And they become so depressed. It's just so wicked. It's so wrong. But I just thought it was a very interesting thing that they could be on the autism spectrum order, you know? Absolutely 100%. But I don't think it's vaccine damage so much. I think it's something much deeper. You know?
Well, there's physical damage, and then there's this whole the language Trojans. You know, the whole language is changing, and with the pronouns and all that stuff, and we're drowning in logical distortions, you know, the distortion of logic and, well, the dismissal of logic, according to John Rappaport, right? People are trained not to be logical, just to be emotional and not trust anything that's not just purely emotional, you know. But, I mean, I like emotion. There's nothing wrong with it. But a lot of people want to define what emotions are allowed, you know. And what logic is allowed. And so we're physically damaged and then mentally damaged. And then the tools that the mind can use to communicate are being destroyed, you know. So, it's back to the laundromat of human souls, you know. So,
yep, so. That's it. That's what I'll call it. People will see the header of this podcast and go, what the hell are they talking about? But it's crazy. It really is. It's a big game. And if you don't know how to play or you're not prepped game, you get eaten alive.
It's all temporary. I mean, we can't live much more in 70, 80 years and then you're on to another realm, you know. But this game is pretty brutal, you know.
It's brutal.
Yeah.
Yes, it's full on, man. The transhuman but the transgender movement now is so strong. Anyway, it's everywhere you look, you can't escape it. They're pushing this equality thing and onto our kids. It's in the schools. It's just right through the fabric of life now. This whole agenda. So it's coming from, you know, a very dark place, everybody's being engineered into it. You know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it's like, you know, I always wondered why these movies, these horror movies of the ghouls and the living dead, you know, and all that. You know, I always wondered where they're coming from. And at one point I figured, well, they're there to help doctors and nurses feel that they're living a normal life, you know. And then, but now I think in a way they're it's sort of the goal of society. They're almost creating a ghoulish society. Like, how far can they go with the damage, you know? Is there a point where, I mean, it seems like it's just like cattle, you know, it's impossible for cattle to rebel. You know, the cattle are living a holocaust, you know, of world. And I don't know, maybe that's the nature of nature, right? But at least in nature, animals theoretically live a healthy life until they're taken down by a predator, But in human life, modern human life, we live a distorted life, and we're taken down by the predator before we're born, and then we're allowed to evolve our distorted life, and they basically suck the blood out of us for the rest of our life. I guess they're into soul harvesting, in a sense. They want to drink the blood of babies, right? So they prefer that to the blood of adults, I guess.
Yeah, that's very profound, Jim, that we're taken down by the predator before we're even born, yeah, in utero, really.
Yeah.
Even before, I don't know, but and then we're living out a distorted life that we think is real or normal, it's wrong, right. It's broken.
Yeah, and I guess eventually the metaverse, the digital world, the digital fake reality world will take over. And that'll be another zone.
That's right.
Of unreality and horror.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It's already there.
Yeah. So are we out of gas yet?
I think so, Jim. I got a jump and just got to do a pickup. But, yeah, great chatting with you today. And come on any time at this hour for the hour. We're just on 1 hour exact, and whenever you want to jump on for a chat here and there, this is kind of afternoon to me, so I'm just fixing up some things. It's a good time. That's cool, because it's always great to talk about your work and have these conversations. Website is up and working now. I just uploaded the last podcast, which is great, so I'll put this one up as soon as I can and link it through to you so you got it as well, and your website and everything.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Adam. It was great talking.
We'll plug out tonight, Jim, and we will be chatting again sometime soon, and great chatting with you in the laundromat of human souls.
Yeah we got the title.
All right. Let me plug out now, Jim, and stop the recording so I've got it. And ciao, buddy.
Okay. Take care.